Please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, the 27th chapter. Proverbs 27, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 691. We'll read one verse only, and we'll go to some other verses after that. The first verse of the 27th chapter of Proverbs. Let's stand, please, and we'll read this verse together. Okay, ready? Let's read. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Turn now to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. It's page 702 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading the 10th verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Let's read. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Now I'm turning to a couple of verses. You'll not turn to them, but I'll read them. Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Likewise, I'll read for you the 13th verse of the 3rd chapter of Philippians. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And let's pray. Father, we thank thee so for such a book as this. It's a miracle book. We would not have it if it were not for the sacrifice of many Christians who've gone on before us. We would not have it except that thou didst preserve it through holy men of old and through those who sacrificed their very lives. It's a miracle book. Thank you for it. Thank you for its faithful preaching here in this, our church. And thank you for our faithful men of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses said to the Lord, asked the Lord, whom shall I say sent me? And God said, I am that I am. You tell Pharaoh that the I am has sent thee. That's one of the passages that prompted this little message this morning. Another is when the wise man said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, that's present tense, findeth to do, do it with thy might, or do it with all thy might, or give it all that you have. Then another passage, this one thing I do. And then the title of my message comes from Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Now that does not mean boast not what you're going to do tomorrow. It means boast not that there'll be for you a tomorrow. It's a very unusual kind of a testimony message this morning. I prepared this outline probably 3 months ago. Every week I've looked at it, and I knew I was supposed to preach it, but didn't know when. And every week I looked at it and said to the Lord, is this the week? And then just this week it dawned on me, since tomorrow is my 74th birthday, this is the time for this message. It's a testimony sermon. I hope you'll listen very carefully as I speak on this subject, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Heavenly Father, it is true that these people have driven an accumulative total of hundreds of thousands of miles. Many of these folks have driven 50 miles, and they do every service. The letter I got from that dear family in Michigan City this week said, we drive every week, morning, night, Wednesday night. It's worth the drive. I pray you'd make it worth the drive this morning as I speak on this vital subject. Amen. As I mentioned, tomorrow I'll be 74 years of age. I do not know where the years have gone. I was thinking about when I introduced Mike Terry a while ago, I began to think about other young people who were here. I was only 32 years of age when I became pastor here over 41 years ago. I can't figure me out. My wife says she can't either. But I can't figure me out. I really can't. I do not know why God has blessed this little preacher like he has. I cannot understand why there are more people in church on this corner in all of our buildings at this very moment than will be in any church in the world today. Think about that. We have thousands and thousands, probably 8,000 to 10,000 people who are not in this auditorium now. And that are here. I'm saying, I don't quite understand it. And as I said a while ago, I did sure wonder why, what there is about me that would cause you, if in fact I have anything to do with it, to come such a distance to be in this church. You see, I'm not a big preacher. I make no pretense of being a big preacher. But for some reason or other, God has seen fit to use me greatly. I'm a country preacher. I know that. I'm not a Rolls Royce. I'm just a Ford Taurus. I hate to use that word with certain people up here in spent their lives at the Ford Motor Company. And I use a Ford Taurus because I'm trying to find the worst car I can think of. But I'm not a Rolls Royce. I'm just a Ford Taurus. But for some reason or other, and please don't think I'm boasting because I have not whereof to boast, God has seen fit to use this Ford Taurus more than many a Rolls Royce or a Jaguar or a Cadillac. I'm not a pedigree, but I have for some reason been used more than many pedigrees. I'm not 18 karat gold. I'm just costume jewelry. That's all I am. I'm not a presidential suite in the Hyatt Regency. I'm just an ordinary room at the Days Inn. But for some reason, God has used this little Days Inn to have a great church, more bigger than the Hyatt Regency suites. I'm not a general of the army. I'm just a corporal. But God has used this corporal more than many generals. I'm not a Rolex. I'm just a Timex. And I know that. But God has seen fit for this little Timex to be used by him. I'm not a Neiman Marcus. I'm just a Montgomery Ward. And please don't be offended if Mr. Montgomery is here this morning, or Mrs. Ward. I'm not a five-star hotel. I'm just one of those little hotels out the edge of town that people stop and get a cheap room from. I'm not a T-Bow's. I'm just a Burger King. I'm not a New York sirloin. I'm just a hamburger from a greasy spoon. I'm not silk and satin. I'm just plain cotton. I'm not a designer's garment or an original. I'm just a common brand, a copy. I'm not an interstate. I'm just a blacktop rural road. I'm not an airline jet. I'm just a Piper Cub. I'm not a beautiful yacht. I'm just a sailboat. But for some reason, God has used this little boy, reared in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas, Texas, with an alcoholic dad. I'm sure you wonder why. And I'm asked that often by people. This is nothing new to you, but so often people come to hear me preach, and they hear about the great First Baptist Church, they hear about the great Hiles Anderson College and our ministry here, and they're expecting to find somebody that they don't find when I walk up on the platform. And how often a little lady down in southern Illinois said to me, she said, I'm 35 years old. I've heard about you all my life, and you don't look like what I thought you'd look like. And I said, you're ugly, too. But I'm often asked, Brother Hiles, what is it? I don't know. I can't figure me out any more than you can. I don't know. I have outlived and outlasted every preacher of every huge church in history, fundamental church. Dr. J. Frank Morris died before he was my age. So did Dr. Ironsides at Moody Church, and so did Dr. G.B. Vick, when the Temple Baptist Church Detroit was such a great church. And Dr. Charles Spurgeon died many years before he was 74. Dr. Lee Robertson retired before he was my age. Dr. Dallas Billington retired before he was my age. And yet I have preached before more people than any of these men. And I have seen more people saved than any of these men. And I have preached more sermons than any of these men. Over 67,000 times I've stood before people and preached, as I'm doing now here and across the country and in some cases around the world. I don't know yet, but I'm going to guess at it this morning. And I'm going to try to, by the way, most of you are Ford Tauruses too. We have a few Cadillacs here in the room. And then we have a few broken down jalopies here also. We have here in the room, we have some Hyatt Regency presidential suites, and we have some 18 karat gold, and we have some Rolexes here in the room. We have some Jaguars here, but the truth is most of us are Timexes, and most of us are Ford Tauruses, and most of us are just days in, and most of us are just like me. We're common, ordinary people. So let me encourage you, if I for a while guess at it. I'm not sure this answer. I'll guess at it the day before my 74th birthday as to why God has used a poor commoner born and reared in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas in the home of an alcoholic. And I'll give you three reasons. By the way, let me say this too. I've lived a happy life. I've lived a full life. And I've lived a rather successful life. Let me give you three little statements that I'm guessing at this morning. I promise you, it's the secret to life. Number one, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. That's the story of my ministry. Whatever I do at this moment is the most important thing I've ever done. Please do not take notes. Look out this way. This one thing I do. Mrs. Hiles calls it a compartmentalized life. I focus on the task at hand. I give it all I have at the present time. Somebody asked me, what's the most important sermon that you've ever preached? I'll tell you right now, the most important sermon I've ever preached is the one I'm preaching right now. And I'll be honest with you, when I was in Colorado last Monday night, I wasn't in my own church. I was preaching somewhere else. But those of you who heard me there, numbers of our senior citizens were there on the Best Year's Club trip, you'll vouch for this. That sermon Monday night was the most important sermon I'd ever preached. And one or two of our people were there Tuesday night when I preached again in Colorado Springs. And I promise you, and they'll not be surprised when I say this, while I was preaching that sermon, that was the most important sermon I've ever preached. Saturday night, we could go last night. We had an ordination service over there in the chapel. I dare say there weren't 150 people there. But those of you who were there would vouch for the fact that at that moment, that was the most important sermon I've ever preached. I preached one night at Antioch Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, to 90 people. But it was the most important sermon I ever preached at the time. And God gave me Dr. Curtis Hudson. His life was transformed in that service. I preached to 40 people down here at the First Baptist Church at Danville, Illinois, years ago. And 40 people, that's all that showed up in an auditorium that probably seated several hundred. But it was the most important sermon at that time I'd ever preached. And God gave us a young preacher. His life was changed. His name was Dr. Wally Beebe, who's responsible for millions going to church on buses through his ministry, and at one time served on our staff here, and whom will honor as one of our men sometime this fall. I preached at Springfield, Missouri with 102 temperature one night, had thrown up all afternoon, decided not to even go preach, and yet I felt like I should, and I went out and vomited during the song service and came back in and preached, and sitting in that service that day was a young college student of the Christian denomination who all of a sudden that night had his life changed, decided to come to Hiles Anderson College. And Rick Martin, perhaps the greatest missionary in the world today, decided that night to come to Hiles Anderson College. If I could give you one of the great secrets, and I'm not sure that that's why God has used this little country preacher. I'm not sure that this is it, but I would not be surprised. This one thing I do. The most important counseling session I've ever had is the one I'm having now. And when somebody walks in yesterday morning at a counseling session at 9 o'clock yesterday morning, and I spent an hour and 40 minutes with one of our dear members counseling. And to me, that's the most important session I ever had. I entered into that member's life, and I did what I could to live in that member's house and feel that member's hurt and help that member's life. And I'm trying to say, this one thing I do, the most important wedding I've ever had was the one I had yesterday. Mrs. Colston's worked with me on hundreds of weddings, and she'll vouch that every wedding at that moment is the most important. It may be the wedding of a little college kid. It may be the wedding of a bus kid. That doesn't matter. This one thing I do. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you're doing now is the most important thing you've ever done in your life. If a task is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That's one of the great secrets of life. I put everything else out of my mind. Ms. House says sometimes to me, you amaze me. That's because I'm so pretty. But she said, you amaze me how you can focus on one thing with so many things that you have to do and responsibilities that you have and ministries you have to lead and counseling sessions that you have. It amazes me that you can put everything else out of your mind. If I understand it, it's not my eloquence. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a great Bible teacher. I'm not a great theologian. I'm not a great leader. I'm not an imposing person physically. But there's one thing I can do. Whatever I'm doing, I can give it my best at the moment I'm doing it. This one thing I do. When our educators meet on every other Saturday morning in my office, that's the biggest thing in my life, and I don't even know who anybody else is. When my men met last night, my male staff members meet on every other Saturday night, that's the biggest thing I do. That's it. This one thing I do. I'm a Surrey. What caused this little preacher to pastor this great church? And what caused a nobody to pastor the largest congregation in America? What caused a Ford Taurus to be used of God more than a Jaguar? What caused a Days Inn room to be used of God more than the presidential suite at the Hyatt Regency Hotel? What caused a piece of costume jewelry to be used of God more than 18-karat gold? What? Number two, this one day I live. Listen to me. This one day I live. That's my life. This one thing I do, and then this one day I live. I don't lament the mistakes of yesterday. I don't pre-live tomorrow. I live today. You know, I could, if I wanted to, stop and think that I'll be 6 years from 80. Come to think of it, I just stopped and thought about it. And I feel lousy. But that, let me tell you something worse than that. I'm 16 years from 90. I was talking to Brother Wardwell yesterday. He said, I pray every day, several times a day, that you can pastor our church till you're 100 years old. You don't pray that several times a day, do you? But I'm trying to say that I could stop and that could discourage me. Ms. House and I reached I reached my 70th birthday. She's been 39 for many years. But I sat down and talked with her. And I said to her, I said, now look, let's live today. Let's live today. We don't know how many days we have left, but neither do you 25-year-olds know how many days you have left either. You see? So I said, we're as young as anybody. We have as much time left as anybody. We have today. Oh, I love today. I made mistakes yesterday, but bless God, I'm going to live today. I'm not going to worry about that double bogey I made on the last hole. I'm going to shoot a birdie on the next hole. It's probably be a little, but anyway, I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm not going to pre-live tomorrow. Brother, when Moses came to God and said, I'm going to Pharaoh. Whom shall I say, send me? And Moses, God said to Moses, just tell him that I am. God's not the I was. God's not the I will be. He's the I am. This one day I live. I love the spunk of the Best Years Club. I went out last Thursday, a week ago Thursday, when they left to go on a trip out to the Colorado Mountains. Those people, 60 years and older in the Best Years Club, and I told them, when I get that old, I'm going to join. I walked out there, and those senior saints were on that bus like a bunch of kids going to the dunes. They had bought shirts together, and it said, Best Year Club Up Here. And they're going out west, so they all bought cowboy hats. And there those senior saints were on the bus like a bunch of kids going to camp. And I thought, boy, that's the way to live. They're not lamenting the fact that they're like 16 or 17 or 18. This one day I live. I have today. I don't know if I'll have tomorrow, but you don't either. And you don't either. And you don't either. Nobody does. But bless God, I woke up this morning. I was born this morning. I'm living today. I will die tonight. I'll rise again tomorrow morning. This one day I live. I've never wanted to be another age or to be another place. This is the day I live. This one thing I do, this one day I live. Ms. House and I were in Switzerland. We love Switzerland. And we had a beautiful mini suite, one, a big room is what it amounts to, and 15 feet on the side of one of the Alps mountains, looking down over that beautiful Lake Lucerne with Alps mountains all around us and that lake down there at the bottom. And we were there for 7 days and 8 nights. And we start to leave. I took one last look. And I said to myself, you know, I'd like to live here. This is a good place to live. I often tell Miss Howe, just tell the church to send the check on the 1st and 15th and send the furniture over. And I'd like to live here. Wait, hold it now. I even didn't want to leave. We called a cab. This cab driver was a very intellectual person. He knew Switzerland like the palm of his hand, and he is a very smart, intelligent man. So we started to leave, and we're leaving Lucerne. And I said, how long have you lived here? I think he said, all my life, didn't he? All my life. And I said, boy, how lucky you are. There I was saying, boy, I think this would be a great place to live. He said, I get out of here in December. Wait a minute. I get out of here in December. I said, why? He said, this is a dump. He said, this is the dreariest place in the world in December. So I decided to live there from May through November. And then there's another place called Maui. But wait a minute. Look, here he is getting out of there. And here I am. That's the way you are. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence, but you move on the other side of the fence. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I understand me, I don't understand me, I don't know what the secret is, but I have an idea. It's this one thing I do, what I've got to do, I give it all I've got, and this one day I live. I can't live tomorrow today, I can't live tomorrow to yesterday today, but bless God, I have today. I'm as young as you are, I've got today. Number three, what is the secret to a Ford Taurus outrunning a Jaguar? What is the secret to costume jewelry being of more value, 18-karat gold? What's the difference in a piece of glass being of more value than a 1-karat diamond? What's the difference in a Days Inn being of more use than a presidential suite? What's the difference? This one thing I do, this one day I live. Number three, this one step I take. If you'll get that little three-point outline, please do not take notes. Look at me. Look at me. This one thing I do. There are others that can do more than I can, but I can give my best at what I'm doing. There are others whose hands are bigger than mine, but whatever my hand findeth to do, I can do it with all my might. This one thing I do. This one day I live. This one step I take. The psalmist said, order thou my steps. Didn't say order my trips. My steps. This is the step. And then this one step I take. And this, the psalmist said again, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and then it's a light unto my path. I've never had a master plan. I've never been much for goals. I don't rush a project. I've enjoyed being a country preacher. When I was a country preacher, I didn't want to be anything else. When God put me in a small town, I became a small town preacher. I didn't want to be anything else. I never looked and said, I hope I can have a big city church someday. Or I wanted to stay in that little country church. I wanted to be pastor there all of my life. I was happy and enjoyed being a country preacher. I enjoyed being a small town preacher. And now I enjoy being a big city preacher. But I never wanted to leave where I was. I have not wished I were elsewhere. I let each plan ripen. I enjoy each era in my life. I didn't know when I was a junior, I did not want to be a junior higher. When I was a junior higher, I did not want to be a high schooler. When I was a high schooler, I did not want to be a collegian. When I became a collegian, I did not want to be a young adult. When I was in grade school, I wanted to be a grade schooler. When I was in junior high, I wanted to be a junior higher. When I was in high school, I wanted to be a high schooler. When I was in college, I wanted to be a collegian. As a young man, I wanted to be a young man. And by the way, this may shock the fire out of you. At 74 years of age, I wouldn't be 50. I don't want to be that dumb again. I'm where I want to be. I'm what I want to be. And for these many years, this one thing I do, this one day I live, and this one step I take. I wanted to grow with my work. The preacher boys, don't forget that. You better be concerned about your growth instead of the growth of your work. Because your work can outgrow you, and you'll lose it. I've taken no shortcuts. Listen carefully to this. I had been preaching 25 years before I started school. Some of you guys are going to start a church next week and a school the next month. I've been preaching 25 years before I started the first school, Hammond Baptist High School. That isn't all. Let me tell you a story. When I was pastor in Garland, I had an evangelist in my church who was a dear friend of mine. I loved him very much and often fellowship with him. He was a very successful, talented evangelist. He used to come to me and say, Brother Jack, why don't you start a school? And I said, I'm not ready to start a school. It's not time. It's not ripe. Well, he said, look, man, start a school. Get somebody to run. Start a school. I said, I'm not ready to start a school. He tried to get me to start more things. Pastor, young man, when you get out in the field, you make the supreme thing you do pastoring your church. When I was led of God to come to Indiana, I recommended the church call this evangelist as pastor. And unanimously they did so. And by the way, far more talented than I. Hey, he was the Cadillac. I was the Ford Taurus. He was the 5-star hotel. I was the Days Inn. He was the silk and satin. I was the cotton. He was somebody. Follow me. He took the church in Garland, Texas. Within a few months, he started a grade school. And then a high school. Within a year, he started a college. It was 11 years after I came here before I started school. And 25 years in my ministry. Oh, by the way, this college is closed now. The church averages 125 people in Sunday school. Small. They cut the auditorium down several times. A good man is pastor there, and he didn't cause it. This fella, this young evangelist, this evangelist that was a Cadillac, that was a Statler Hilton, Hyatt Regency, a Rolls Royce. Far more than I. He's out of the ministry and has been for years. 41 years have passed. Hammond Baptist School is flourishing. Howells Anderson College is the largest independent Baptist fundamental college in the world. Why? This one step I take. Young preachers, enjoy that little country church. Enjoy those country people. Ask God to leave you there the rest of your life, and if he leads you somewhere else, of course you'll go. And so after 74 years of life, starting my 75th year of life, I look back and thank God for how good he's been. When I went to college, I majored in pastoral theology because I wanted a pastor. I also majored in secondary education with a teaching field of history because I thought I'd never pastor a church big enough to pay my salary. And that has been fulfilled. But I never thought of that. I just knew I was an introvert, failed public speaking in high school, weighed 92 pounds on my 17th birthday. I always figured I'd have to work on the side. So I wanted to teach school so I could influence young people. And now here I am years later. It's pretty proud. How good God's been to me. If you'll let me say it again. He's used a Ford Taurus, a non-pedigree piece of costume jewelry. The day's end, a Corporal, a Timex, a JCPenney, a hotel at the edge of town, a Burger King, a hamburger is a greasy spoon, cotton. He's used just a common brand, a copy, a blacktop country road, a Piper cup, a fishing boat. Why? Why in the world has God so chosen? I don't know, but I'm guessing this one thing I do, this one day I live, this one step I take. Try it. I do not say that you'll pastor the largest church in America someday, but you'll get more done than you would have done. And it'll keep you from being frustrated all the time. It'll keep you from your nerves. Some of you folks have a nervous breakdown every other day, especially you folks that are females. But if you'll take this little outline and put it in your memory and live it, this one thing I do. I'll give it all I've got. This is the most important thing I've ever done. This one day I live. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. I'm as young as anybody because I have the same one day everybody else has. And this one step I take. Would you bow your heads, please?